Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, it's a joy actually to bring God's word this morning, and always a privilege. It's always something that I don't do lightly. I don't download a message off the website or somebody else's website. I get it from the Lord, and I seek God for his word. And last week was actually the precursor, or it was the message that actually prepares for this week. And last week was about humility. Pastor Dave Shipham brought the message in a way that will have you laughing if you keep remembering the way he brought it. You can download that message off our website, kingdomfaithsw.com. It is a wonderful message, but surrounding that word was a lot of humor. I mean, I laughed more than I've ever laughed in a meeting. And in fact, at one point, I thought I was going to lose it. So that's my friend, Pastor Dave. But he brought the word of the Lord, and it was such an important message for us to really live close to God and seeing his victory in our lives. And this message really comes out of speaking to somebody this week. And as I was speaking to them, they were speaking about troubles they were going through, difficulties they were facing. And as they were sharing, of course, I was there to bring help, to bring the word of the Lord, to bring God's answer to them. And so, I don't know if you ever do this, I trust you do, as somebody is speaking to me about their issues and what's going wrong, I usually pray. I listen with one ear, but I talk to God with my heart, and I say, Lord, I need your answer, because I know that man's answers don't actually cut it. They don't work. But God's answer always works. He's always got an answer for every situation, for every trouble or even mess we might get into. And he is absolutely brilliant at getting us out of trouble. In fact, he's a master at it. He's the best at getting us out of trouble. If you're in a ditch, God can get you out today. If you're in trouble, he can get you out. Anyway, as I was praying, I had a vision. And actually, in the last few weeks, I've had more visions than I have for years. It's been quite interesting. As I've been looking at people, I can see things. And it's a lot more of the Holy Spirit bringing the prophetic dimension into, don't get scared. See, I saw that. I saw like, zhook, oh no. It's exciting because the Holy Spirit only reveals stuff for your good, to bring you into his best. And he is a good God. And I saw this vision as he was talking of this tree. And this tree was absolutely shaking. And you know when a tree really shakes? We had some bad weather this week. And the tree outside my house was blowing so hard that its leaves were blowing off and hitting my windows. And sometimes things in life can cause, unpleasant circumstances can cause that level of shaking where actually you feel like you're losing. You feel like everything's going wrong. And God revealed this to me, and I began to speak to him about how to establish his roots, that his root system was more important than the external, and if he got his roots sorted, then he would stand. And the next morning, I have the biggest cup of tea. Whenever I go shopping for a new cup for my early morning cup of tea, it's always the biggest you can get. But it has to be China. I don't like those thick-rimmed mugs for tea. So I like China, bone China teacups, as big as possible. And now I've moved on to a type of tea bag that's bigger than the norm. I'm trying not to advertise here, but it's a big northern tea bag. And very nice too, because it actually is able to cope with a big mug. So I traipsed back up early in the morning to my favorite time of the day, which is me and Jesus. It's my favorite time. I get in back into bed, and some of you mustn't because you'll sleep. But I'm too excited to sleep because I know I'm going to hear from God, and I know I'm going to just receive from him during that time. And one of the things that I do personally is I go through a Bible reading plan. So I read the word at a kind of methodical thing. So instead of just taking my favorite bits, I actually become more balanced in scripture because I go through the Bible with a Bible reading plan. So my first scripture was Isaiah. If you turn to there, Isaiah chapter 7. And don't forget the tree, the vision of the tree. There is a meaning to the story. And Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 1. So this is where I came in with my cup of tea. I prayed and I said, Lord, thank you for your word. Speak to me. So when Ahaz, and then I find it difficult to go through all the names, but I'm going to try. Son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, you try, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they couldn't overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. As the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. And I'm like, ding! You know, sometimes you wait for kind of half an hour before you hear God. Well, this was the second verse in. And I still had five chapters. Wisdom is, God is speaking, Lord, what are you trying to say? Rather than rush on for the other four chapters. Because we're into relationship, not rules. And if you hear God through his words, stop and say, Lord, I acknowledge that yesterday your spirit gave me a vision of a tree shaken. And now I read it in your word. You're saying something that is more significant than for just one person. You're wanting to speak to many, and that includes everybody here this morning. I believe you're God ordained to be here this morning. Sometimes the decisions you make are kind of like just thoughts. Oh, I think I'll go. I've never been there before. But I believe you're God ordained to be here this morning. To hear this word about a tree that is shaken. And what God is wanting to speak to us about this tree. The Lord said to me as I was reading this and I was praying, he said, just like Ahaz, where the enemy allied with other enemies to come against the people of God, so the enemy has joined forces against the church. And the church has been shaken. Like this, like a tree. Now, the guys who heard this report in the history with Ahaz, the king, and the people of Israel, when they heard this, they were shaken. And it was fear that actually got into their hearts. They began to be afraid of what the enemy was going to do. The enemy had planned destruction. He always does. Jesus said, the thief or the enemy comes. And this is why it's so important to be clear as to where trouble comes from. Because if you think trouble's from God, then you're not going to run to him for help. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And life in all its fullness. So Jesus came to give a better life, a more full life. And he says the enemy is actually planning and plotting to do you harm. Now, unless we understand that the spirit world is real, we will never really understand how to fight these fears. Because if fears have their root in an unseen enemy, then we cannot fight with natural weapons. Because we'll be doing this and hoping we get some kind of help. But Jesus said that I've come to give you life. I've come to do you good. It's the thief that plots evil and trouble. And at times, and we have all experienced it, when we've heard things that the enemy is saying or going to do, where fear gets right in to our hearts and we are shaken. And I must say, over the last year, I think it has been an unusual season as a church. We have had four, in this church, we've had four potential cancer threats in this body. Some of them you don't know about, but I do. The ones you don't know about are already dealt with, and the ones that you do know about are healed. So it's not that the enemy hasn't come against us and won, but he's come against us and lost. That's what we celebrate. Everything that has come, we've won a victory. We've had talk of other kinds of sickness and the fears of what will happen in the future, because that's what the enemy always does. He always plots and plans for bad things in our future. And these things that he plans are real, that he wants to see happen. We've seen a house absolutely ruined and a battle to see somebody's livelihood restored. Just some things that we've seen, people with not enough money, threats of job losses, threats of you're a failure, talk against us, slander against us as a leadership and as a church, accusations that have come from every which way, both inside and out. We've had things, words that say you won't succeed. And you need to give up, back off, it's all a waste of time. Has anybody ever heard it's a waste of time? Just three of us. Okay, more honest people are out there, because I believe that's one of the things the devil says. What you're doing is just a waste of time. He diminishes the work of God. Now the tree, God was saying to me, is shaken. And the words that the enemy are bringing and have brought a shaking. And we've been rallying together, standing, seeing a victory. We've been doing what we can to overcome. But I believe God's given me a word today to stop all the shaking. Amen. To stop all the fears about the future. I really believe that. You see, words are powerful. I went to see a film with Leonardo DiCaprio. I find that difficult to say. Leonardo DiCaprio. And what's it called? Anybody remember what it's called? Inception. Who's seen it? Just me? Two? Three? Okay, it's quite a good film. But basically, they have discovered this ability to plant thoughts in people's minds when they're asleep. And it sounds like the enemy, you know. And these thoughts, what they've decided is if you can get somebody's thought life, you can destabilize them as a person. And then they will believe a different way about themselves and act differently. And so they brought everything back to a thought. And a thought is made up of words. It's a communication. And those words communicated by the enemy, if they are successful in lodging in our minds, have the power, like a virus, to destroy internally, take your peace, take your joy, take every good way of thinking about yourself or your situation. and begin to live in fear about what's going to happen in the future. So it's quite a good film. And the Lord actually said to me during that film, this is part of what causes a tree to shake. It's what part of what causes a life to begin to shake. Now, have you ever been to a pantomime? I don't like them myself, but where they stand like... You try. And they stand, you know, they're shaking. And it's funny unless it's happening to you. It's not funny when it's you. In the middle of the night or, you know, at some point in your life where it's like it seems everything's going wrong. And there's a shaking, a whole lot of shaking going on. Shaking going on. Words are coming to us through circumstances. Situations. They say things to us. They speak to us. People can say things. They come to us through what people say about us or against us. And those words, if adopted, can destabilize the tree and cause that instability, lack of peace, and to take strength out of our lives. The reaction of Ahaz and the people of God was this shaking. Their hearts were moved. And you need to know something about how you're made. If you are moved to fear or anxiety, don't ignore it. Don't cover it up and carry on. Deal with it. Get it out of your heart and your mind. Don't live with fear. Fear is destructive and actually has the power to take more ground once it gets in and begins a takeover. Be careful, because the enemy is out for everyone. And that's why we have to protect our thought life with the Word of God and a shield of faith, that whenever fear comes in, we deal with it and don't ignore it. Because fear will ultimately, and it seeks to, it's a spirit, it's a demon, fear, and it seeks to destroy us. By the way, we're going to get happy later, but this is just the building. So they reacted, and so therefore they actually believed the devil's words. They believed the words, the negative words about them. They believed that the enemy was plotting and planning to destroy them. And we can tell because they reacted. Okay? Now, there's no condemnation for those who react. Otherwise, we'd all be condemned. But we're not. We're free in Jesus from condemnation. But we must understand that the power to overcome comes from God. And that there is a need for us to drive fear out and to deal with all fear. So what's God's answer to this pretty demoralizing situation in the history of Israel? God's covenant people are shaken like a tree. In verse 3, we read, here comes the answer. So the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, and meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. That's funny. God calls the enemy two smoldering stubs of firewood. He basically, in the people of Israel's mind, the enemy was that big. God says he's nothing. He's diminishing the power of the enemy by saying, take heart. Don't lose heart. Don't struggle. Listen to me. So he basically says, don't be afraid. Don't let fear come in. And then he goes on to say, let's see verse 6. The enemy has said, let us invade Judah, let's tear it apart, divide it amongst ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. So the enemy is actually saying, this is, we've united forces to come against those people. Okay? And we're going to penetrate, we're going to win, we're going to get through and destroy. Because that's the plan of the devil, to destroy. The word of the Lord through the prophet says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, it will not take place, it will not happen. You'll believe that more by the end of the message. The word of the Lord came through the prophet, it will not take place, it will not happen. Now I want you to see from this story, it's all about words. First of all, the enemy's words through people attacking God's people. Secondly, God's word through a prophet, a man chosen by God, anointed to speak the word of God. And the word of God comes through the anointed person saying, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It won't take place. It won't happen. So words are coming from the enemy, and now the word of the Lord is coming from God. And God is saying, do not fear what the enemy has said about your future. Do not fear what the enemy has said about your life. Don't accept and allow the inception of those words to have a destructive force in your life. Accept my word. Stay calm. I love that. Be at peace. Stay calm. Don't get stressed out with this. It's funny, isn't it, that the answer for this oncoming war, this attack, wasn't to run. It wasn't to get a lot of military support. It wasn't to build a tower or a fortress or a castle. It was the word of the Lord through a prophet. Isn't that interesting? That the answer to the war and to the enemy is the word. Jesus said that when the enemy came against him, he quoted the word of God. And said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so God's answer, bring on the prophet. Now, we know that God's word is perfect. We know that this is God breathes. All scripture carries the breath and the life of God. But we also know that no prophet anointed by God in the Old Testament was perfect. Because no human being has ever been perfect apart from Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And so you and I are not perfect, are we? In Christ, it's a different story. But we haven't lived in perfection. But God uses a person to speak his word who is not perfect. And still that word has the power to deliver the nation from the enemy's attack and from destruction. So the answer is the word of the Lord, but also the one who brings the word. You need to understand this, that it isn't just having the word in the Bible or just having the word in your heart. It's the word in your mouth that will bring deliverance. It's the word that you speak that will cancel out what the enemy's plans have been. The Lord says, who's the enemy compared to me? It will not take place. It will not happen. Isaiah 55, verse 11 says, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return empty. So it has power, the word of God. The word out of his mouth has power. It will not return empty, but it will accomplish everything for which it's been sent. So when Jesus went through the cross, when he rose again from the dead, he was a fulfillment of every word that had been spoken hundreds of years ago by the prophet Isaiah. Every word that Jesus did in his ministry had already been spoken centuries ago. Because everything that the word says actually happens. In fact, we know the end of the story. It's in the book of Revelation. We know that the word will be fulfilled and Jesus will return. And on that day, there will be a judgment. Nations will be separated. People will be separated out on their choice of Jesus or not. So we know the end, and all scripture will come to pass. You can't stop it. We can't stop Jesus coming. The word has gone out and will return. And he is the word of all words. So the Son of God will return. So all scripture is God-breathed. When God's word is spoken, it carries this power to accomplish. It has self-fulfilling power. So when Jesus said, be healed, his words had power to heal the sick. There are people in this room who have experienced physical healing just by someone speaking the word over them. And there was a manifestation of God's word as it was spoken by some body. A person spoke the word of God. Now we can look at this and say, okay, but that was Isaiah, it was Jeremiah, it was these great prophets, amazing men of God. Who am I in comparison to them? Well, Jesus has the answer in Matthew 11 to tell us who we are in comparison to the prophets. Matthew 11, verse 11. And he's speaking here about John the Baptist, the last prophet, the last man who spoke about Jesus, and actually he prepared the way for Jesus' ministry. So they were on earth together at the same time. It was amazing. He prepared the way, he spoke, but the word actually said who John the Baptist was going to be. Amazing. All of this is a fulfillment of scripture. So Jesus says in verse 11, I tell you the truth. Among those born of woman, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. So he's saying, John the Baptist, by far the greatest prophet. He was born of women. So in other words, he was a normal person. He wasn't the Son of God. Jesus alone is the Son of God. But this was a man who was the greatest prophet. A prophet always spoke the word of God and was to bring the word of God to people. Now Jesus says, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, Jesus is saying something here that we know we can't enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom. The new birth, which is a miracle, the biggest miracle ever, is receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, confessing him Lord, because salvation is also coming out of your mouth, not just believing in your heart. By speaking, you're saved. That means that those who believe and confess Jesus as Lord are born of God. A new birth takes place. And you're born again into the kingdom of heaven. That means every child of God, every one of us who is in the kingdom of heaven through faith in Jesus, is greater than John the Baptist. Now, I don't want you to feel too good about yourself, but that's a good report. It's not about pride, it's about what God has done. I'm not boasting about what I've done, I'm boasting about what he did to bring me out of darkness and into light. So the new birth means just because I'm in Christ, I am greater than the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon the prophets. And those who are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in them. So we are now the dwelling place of God in the earth. So you can go wow if you like. I would believe this because it'll help you. It's the word of the Lord. So we can say, well, that was Isaiah, but God is saying, but what about you? Who are you? What is your identity? And Jesus says that you're in Christ. That you have been raised to a new life. That now the old is gone and the new has come. Doesn't help you unless you believe it. Don't think it, believe it. I accept this as God's truth for my life. The old is gone, the new has come. Ephesians says it's by grace. That means we didn't earn it that we're saved. Jesus did it all for us on the cross. By grace, we're saved through faith. And he raised us up when Christ rose from the dead. All those who believe in him are now raised up in Christ and seated in heavenly places in him. Now, Isaiah was never raised up until actually the end of time, because he was in the old covenant and the new covenant is much better. We now have a better covenant with better promises. We are hidden in Christ, in God. We are anointed because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We therefore can prophesy. That means speak God's word, and every word of God will come to pass through our mouths. I don't claim to be perfect in my working out of my Christian life, but I claim that his perfection is my perfection. That his life has become my life. That it's the Christ in me that is the hope of glory. And that it is he who has won the victory and given me authority over all the power of the enemy. I am seated in Christ Jesus. That means above, not underneath. I am the head and not the tail. I'm not under the circumstances. I'm in Christ. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my shield. He is my victory. He is my banner. He is my life. He is all in all. So who you are actually then should express what you can do. If this is who you are, your identity is now in Christ, then there's no end to what you can do in the name of Jesus and using the power of his word. So my big question is, what should we be doing? Well, fortunately, there's a chair behind here. It is pantomime, isn't it? Boo. A chair. Brilliant. A chair. So who I am defines what I do. Can we just go back to Isaiah, and then I'm going to just explain something. We're going to take part in a victory declaration. Isaiah. Chapter 7 again. So the Lord says, it will not take place, it will not happen. Any negative thought you've had, the Lord is saying it won't take place. Negative things about your future, it will not happen. It won't take place. I mean, when I got this the other morning, I couldn't stay in bed. I kept having sips of tea, but going, it was like, this is it. It's the answer to the shaking, guys. It's the answer to the threats. It's the answer to what the enemy's plotted and planned against us, personally, as families, and as a church. He then goes on to say, at the end of verse 9, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. So God is saying, my word is, it won't take place, it won't happen, but you, your place is to believe it. So the first thing for us to do is to believe, trust, and rely on God and the words of God's prophet that it won't happen. It won't come to pass. Now, there's something that the Bible calls the rest of faith. That's why I brought a chair here. If you and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, essentially, when we're sitting down, we've stopped working. We're relaxed. It's in a position of rest. Jesus has already done everything to bring us victory over every situation. Because he's already accomplished it, all we have to do is rest in it. Believing is trusting and relying on God. When I'm not trusting God, you should see how I live. Panic. What should I do? Who should I talk to? Where should I go? I can't sleep. Everything's going wrong. I've got to go and see the bank manager. I need to sort out this situation. My kids are running riot. And we need a little R&R. Biblically, that means repentance and rest. We need to repent from our headless chicken running around. Repent and rest. In repentance and rest will be your salvation. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. If you want to be strong in times of trouble, it's in a position of faith. I am seated, but I will sit down and trust God. Before I do anything, my first position is, I'm in Christ. He has done it. He has accomplished my future and my present. I know that I believe and trust in him. I know he is able to do everything he has promised for me. His promises are good. He has a good plan and future for my life. I trust in him. When I'm sitting trusting God, and I don't mean passive, I mean in my heart. Where I'm not in fear, I'm in faith. When I'm trusting God, God begins to work. When I'm panicking and running around trying to organize everything and do everything in my own strength, I'm working. And I know I've kind of figured out he does a better job. I don't know if you're facing anything you can't solve. I am. But he's already solved it. He's already done it. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace. I rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is finished, he said, from the cross. So why am I running around like I've got to do it? So the first thing is to trust, believe, and rely on God and on God's word. So before I address the enemy, I need to deal with any fear or anxiety. Repentance and rest, R&R. I come back to him and I say, Lord, I'm really sorry I got anxious about that. You have not called me to live a life of worry, but a life of peace and faith. So Lord, I, in prayer and supplication, present your request to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So trust in him. Pray. Give it to Jesus. And he will give you his peace. It's good, isn't it? It's like there's a little button on this seat. Just imagine that. Let's take the analogy a little further if you can. And every time I sit down, it pushes the button down and God's power begins to work. Every time I stand up in my own power, it stops working. Thank you, Dora. So for heaven's sake, sit down. So he stands up. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Greater is the victory of health and healing than any attack of sickness. Jesus is my victory. And I'm above all principalities and powers in Christ. Then, after sitting down, you can stand up. But sit down first. Because that's the position of faith. Then when you deal with the devil, you become like Isaiah the prophet. Only you're greater than him. And you speak to the enemy and declare the word of the Lord. This is what God says. You declare the promise. You declare the word. Why? Because the word is a sword. And actually, I read in Isaiah this week, the word is like a sword. And it's not like the sword of a man. It's the sword of God. And it devours enemies. Eats them up. I love to think the word in my mouth, spoken, eats up the devil and deals with the opposition. I once heard a story, and I'm not going to go on much longer, because there's no clock there, I could go on for hours, but I won't. I once heard a story, Derek Prince, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but a great Bible teacher. I think he taught till he was nearly 90, I don't know, really phenomenal. He got born again in the military and served God all his life, became a really unusual Bible teacher. And he was praying for this lady, and it wasn't really working very well. And he was laying hands on her, praying for her, and he just stood back just to ask God what to do. And this woman said, I've seen something. She said, I've got a vision. She said, I see a car and you're driving it. And I see this car hit a lamppost, wrapped around a lamppost, and I see you instantly killed. He got more than he bargained for in a prayer line, didn't he? It's amazing what you can get, even in what you think is a protected environment. It's amazing what words come out. And words have power. The enemy's words have power. They do. They're not just threats. They actually have power. But we've got power to cancel them. And he said, I am not that man. I will not die by hitting a lamppost. I will live till old age and glorify God. And I command you come out of her in Jesus' name. And the woman got delivered. A spirit lived in her, a demonic spirit, that spoke hate and evil. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of nights ago. She was dropping her kids off at work. And this woman got into a rage because she asked her to move her car forward a bit. And this woman, out of her mouth, said, "I pray you'll die young with cancer." Well, it just won't happen. It will not take place. But you understand that it's important that we bring on the prophets. Not just have the word written in there or in our hearts, but we are declaring the blessing and the provision of God, the victory of God in our mouth. What the enemy has said about you, I cancel it today. In the name of Jesus Christ, every negative word of hereditary sickness, of disease, of lack, of failure, in the name of Jesus, I cancel those words. They will not take place. They will not happen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And the thing is, we can win every battle with the word. When we declare in the name of Jesus, I say something. I stand firm in my faith. First of all, when my tree is shaken, I sit down and receive from God's word, his promises. I pray. I get myself into a place of peace, guys. Peace is a sign you're in faith. Isn't it? Have you ever tried to kind of outwardly look at peace, but inside? Get rid of the in prayer. Get before God. Don't go to people. Go to Jesus. And just pour out your heart to him. And then say, "Lord, I thank you that you have already accomplished everything I need. And that I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Go on, say it. "I believe I'll see the goodness of the Lord. In fact, I speak it. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Amen. And you know, that's more violent than taking some kind of AKA whatever machine gun. It deals with the enemy. A word spoken in faith through one of God's people in Christ, you will see tremendous victory. Silence won't do you any good. Being quiet about it won't do you any good. Just praying won't do you any good. But the prophet comes in and says, "This is what God says. The word of the Lord has declared, every promise is mine. And I will speak the word over this situation in the name of Jesus, and it will come to pass." Jesus actually said in Mark 11, just in case you think I'm going too far out on this theology, Jesus said in Mark 11, "Speak to the mountain. Have faith in God and speak to the problem. Speak to the situation. Command it in the name of Jesus to be moved into the sea. And he who doesn't doubt but believes in his heart, he will have what he says." Not what he prays in this situation, but you will have what you say. My future then is dependent on the things I'm saying now. See, the devil gets us into all kinds of negative feelings and thinking. Doctors' reports, people's reports. I don't know, everybody's got a bad report, haven't they? Somebody around you will have a bad report. And the devil wants you to agree with his report. Because when you speak it, particularly when you believe it and speak it, it has power. And those negative words will come to pass. But we need to turn everything for the positive and to say that deliverance is in your mouth. Deliverance is in your mouth. And that if you will speak the word of God into the situation, God's victory will come and the enemy will be defeated. It will cancel out what the enemy has planned to do. Now, to finish, you know how I like declaration. Well, I don't know that you do. Some of you are quite new to the church, so you kind of haven't gone through the same journey as us. But new or old, this still works. This is what really works, speaking the word of God and believing it in our heart and declaring things. And we're going to declare certain things over our lives today. Is that okay? Some good things. This is all going to do you good. So even if this is strange to you, you speak it and it will happen. Just come into, align your heart to truth. Believe it and declare it and it will come to pass. Let's just run through it first so that you can kind of, I don't just want you to be like a parrot. I want you to understand and agree with what we're going to say. I declare that God alone is my God and that there is no one to equal him. I repent and turn away from looking to any other for help, support, or aid. Now that's the trusting sitting down bit. I'm depending on God. I hadn't finished, Joy. And willingly submit Jesus as my Lord and Savior, giving myself to live in obedience to him. Now that's the position of victory in my heart. I'm trusting God. I'm yielded to him. And I'm a servant. I will obey Jesus in this world. I will live to obey him. Secondly, I rest in his finished work on the cross, his blood poured out for me, his resurrection from the dead. I declare I believe his word. I am in Christ, raised to a new life, seated in heavenly places in him. He is my salvation and my victory. I will fear no evil. Even saying I'll fear no evil is good, isn't it? Today, I do as his word directs and resist the devil. I declare no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue, every word which rises against me in judgment, I condemn and bring to nothing. We're going to cancel out and zero out those words from the enemy. I refuse to accept the words of the enemy and declare that all he has said against me and the church will not take place. It will not happen. I resist all the devil's pressures, attacks, deceptions. I drive from me all pain, infirmity, symptoms, tumors, allergies, and every form of witchcraft. I think that kind of covers everything. Because of Jesus, I'm no longer under a curse, but I've entered into the blessing of Abraham. I'm blessed in every way in Christ Jesus, in health, prosperity, fruitfulness, victory. I have a rich inheritance. Believing is different to thinking. It's a completely different world, trusting God. It's a life of the unseen. And to what many people seems foolishness, everything that God has said. I mean, all you have to do is read what Isaiah wrote about Jesus and then look at his life. And you have to say there's a God who spoke those words into being. And this world was formed by words. And we will form and create things in the earth through our words. Now the first part is much more of a kind of acknowledgement of who we are and where we stand before God. And the second is the enemy. So we don't speak the first part in the same way as the second, okay? Can we go back to the beginning? Today I declare that I trust in God. That's a different declaration than addressing the enemy. But if you're, be honest, if you don't want to do this, feel free. We'll do it for you and declare the devil's words cancelled anyway. But I believe that this is the weapon that needs to be in your mouth to be declaring and speaking in the face of all trouble and to be trained today to live in victory tomorrow. Part of this is for now, but it's also for your future. That you actually see this as a lifestyle of declaring God's word into your circumstances. So shall we stand together? Thank you, Jesus. Can we just pray? Father, I thank you first for speaking to me and to us this morning about trees that are shaken. Lord, I thank you that you understand and that you love us so much. You want to say, be calm. Don't be afraid. And we accept your loving words towards us today. Thank you, Lord, that you have already dealt with every enemy of ours. And that, Lord, we have a place of victory in you. I want to thank you today, Lord, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. That we're above all in him. A total work of grace. But we praise you for where we are in Christ and who we are. Thank you, Lord, for this mind-blowing truth that the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And I want to thank you for great ones here today that have the anointing of your Spirit in them to declare your word and to deal with, push back all the forces of the enemy and see the power of victory come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's declare.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.